Today is the 18th of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Brian, it's great to be here with you, as it is every day. It's the strangest phenomenon. As I begin to read today, we're having this massive thunderstorm come through the rolling hills of Tennessee. It's mid-December and thunderstorms. That's even a little weird around here. So if you hear big booms in the background, that's what's going on. But it's great to be here with you as we move our way toward Christmas and toward the end of the year. We're reading from the New Living Translation this week, and we read the book of Habakkuk today. So Habakkuk is the eighth of the minor prophet books of the Old Testament. I don't know a whole lot about him, but Jewish rabbinical tradition tells us Habakkuk was the son of the Shunammite woman Elisha raised from the dead in the book of 2 Kings. Because of the way the narrative is written, many scholars believe that Habakkuk may have been a temple prophet. In most cases, this would mean that he was a prophetic musician, gifted on the lyre, harp, and cymbals. Some scholars believe that Habakkuk's lyrical and poetic nature indicates that he was probably a Levite, working in the temple as a temple prophet. Habakkuk wonders aloud what God is doing in his time. And that sounds so familiar. Haven't we always done that in all times? Aren't we doing the same now? He sees injustice and misfortune around him and has what seems to be some doubt. He dares question, and God dares answer. And once again, we're shown in Scripture that we do not know all we think we know. In fact, we know very little of what is really going on, and Habakkuk presses into that. We see in this book one of the most beautiful pictures of the story of our lives, a story of doubt and questions being transformed into absolute trust in the sovereign God. So we read in its entirety today the Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, 19. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. The Lord replied, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out? O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins, but you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many peoples. But soon, their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, what sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You've become rich by extortion. But how much longer can this go on? Suddenly, your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have. While you stand trembling and helpless, because you have plundered many nations. Now, all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly? You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. But by the murders you committed, you have shamed your name and forfeited your lives. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceilings echo the complaint. What sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has not the Lord of Heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard, but all in vain. For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. What sorrow awaits you who make your neighbors drunk? You force your cup on them, so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness. But soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come, drink, and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame. You cut down the forests of Lebanon. Now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals, so now their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a god that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again, as you did in years gone by. and in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with His praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from His hands, where His awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before Him. Plague follows close behind. When He stops, the earth shakes. When He looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. I see the people of Cushan in distress, and the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Was it in anger, Lord, that You struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were You displeased with them? No. You were sending Your chariots of salvation. You brandished Your bow and Your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands to the Lord. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as Your brilliant arrows flew and Your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in Your fury. You went out to rescue Your chosen people, to save Your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With His own weapons, You destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with Your horses, and the mighty waters piled high. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. For the choir director, this prayer is to be accompanied by stringed instruments. Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months, with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River." Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill one-third of all the people on earth. I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops. And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. The riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. One third of all the people on earth were killed by these three plagues. By the fire and smoke and burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Psalm 137. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you. If I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. O Lord, remember what the Edomites did on the day the armies of Babylon captured Jerusalem. Destroy it, they yelled. Level it to the ground. O Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. Proverbs 30:10. Never slander a worker to the employer, or the person will curse you, and you will pay for it. So interesting to read a book like Habakkuk with the backdrop of what's happening in the world. This event that occurred in Connecticut, and those of you who are all over the world, and that's just an awful lot of you, you may not really get a lot of American news, but it was just a person troubled who killed a lot of children in Connecticut in a school. And it has just kind of captured the heart of the American people. It's just all of our news. It's a part of our discourse right now. When something sensational like that happens, it often captures us, and for days we talk about it, really until we kind of pound ourselves numb with it. But that's not the way it is now. I think in part because of the innocence of the children, in part because of the heroism of those who were trying to save them, in part because it's Christmas, and it just doesn't make any sense. And so to read the book of Habakkuk, you know, even as I was reading it, I had to just sort of feel the words, because they could have just kind of come out of my own mouth. They could have come out of any of our mouths. How long, Lord? How long must we call for help? But it doesn't seem like you're listening. Violence is everywhere. But you don't seem to come to save. Must we forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery wherever I look? I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. And then the narrative goes on, because this is one of these times where God explains. He comes at an answer. And that doesn't really necessarily have a contextual... the narrative isn't contextual to the backdrop of this particular incident. It's just God talks about how he's raising up the Babylonians. This is a huge thing for the Jewish people to absorb, that he's doing something so different that you can't even believe it. He's raising up this very, very violent people, and they're just swarming across the land. But ultimately, they're going to fall because they're worshiping their own strength. And ultimately, redemption is going to come, and shalom, the peace and order of God, is going to come. And we look at something like this, and we often want to shake our fist at the sky. If you just kind of browse around on the internet, you'll see people praying for the loss, because we can only imagine what the parents who are now living without their children, who are in the process of burying their children, must be feeling. I mean, we can't really feel it, most of us, but we can only imagine how numb, how awfully numb that must feel. And so people are praying, while others are saying, where was God? And re-cementing their sense of a godless existence. And even those who have faith are shaken, going, I can't understand this. And it's interesting that we turn that way. We shake our fist at the sky as if it's his fault, as if he did this, or at very, very minimum, he should have done something about it. And I wonder if it's not more true that God is grieved. I wonder if it's not more true that he hates this kind of thing. I wonder if it's not more true that he is actually fixing it by receiving the children into his care. If he isn't in the process of redeeming it, no matter what anybody says about him. I wonder if it isn't more true that we have a role to play in this world, and it's not right to blame God for every bad thing that ever happened in the history of mankind. It's not right to blame God for every bad thing that ever happened to us, because he didn't do it. He gave us life. You created a world in perfection. Mankind decided to give it away. And all of these idols that we keep hearing about in Scripture, they're still being worshipped. We still bow our knees to them. Now, they may not look like some sort of strange figure that we carry around, but anything that we go to for life is us giving ourselves over in worship to it, and it can come in so many forms. There was a saying during the Rwandan genocide that I heard. I've mentioned it a number of times here. A saying of a person from the United Nations that had flown in and seen the terrible things that had happened there, and he said he had to stop asking, where is God? And start asking, where are God's people? So should God's people have been present in the school to stop the shooter? Maybe they were. Maybe they did. But it requires us to zoom out a bit. This isn't just a bad thing that happened in Connecticut. This is just a fallen world. And it seems to be falling faster lately. And what are we to do? Because we're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We're supposed to be the ambassadors of God on behalf of His kingdom in this world. We're supposed to bring and establish His kingdom in this world. We're supposed to live in and recreate the model of life that Jesus laid out for us. The one that would say love conquers all. The one that would say the establishment of the shalom, the order and serenity of God, comes through the establishment of the undeniable, compelling and overwhelming power of the love of God. So the problem is bigger than that somebody who was disturbed killed people. Or somebody who was disturbed walked into a movie theater in Colorado and killed people. Or that right now children are being stolen or sold into the sex trade so that they can spend a life having sex with older men who like younger girls. And will continue to do this until they're just simply used up as a commodity until they die. Until the drug addiction that is hiding and masking and numbing the pain of the loss of a soul is able to take its toll, and they're just expendable. There's all kinds of things we could talk about in the world that we can say these are unjust. This is injustice. And the easy thing is to shake our fist at the sky and say, why are you letting this happen? But things really can't be any other way if we are going to have a free will to choose anything. And that was why we were created. That is our whole story. We were created in the image of God to know and be known by Him. And He gave us perfection. And we decided that it wasn't enough. And we keep deciding that it's not enough. We've always decided it's not enough. We're deciding it's not enough now. But what we like to do is make God our scapegoat and say, if something goes wrong, it's your fault, not our choices, not we as a people. No, we can't be to blame because this is too big for us. So you've got to be to blame. When actually we should be about the business of changing the culture at large. So what if this is bigger than gun control, right? I mean, so you take all the guns away, does... Maybe that curbs it. I'm not even in that political quagmire. But does that fix the brokenness? It does not. And so what does fix the brokenness? I mean, what has been a part of your redemption? What has been a part of daily fixing the brokenness in your life? I mean... So the Word of God is maybe the answer that comes to mind, but the Word of God is simply informing you of the truth. It's the redemption of Christ that has redeemed you and redeemed your life. That is the only way forward. That is the only thing that redeems any of this stuff. So we shake our fists at the sky when it is Jesus that is the only hope. We get to choose. We get to choose as individuals and we get to choose as people. And to bring the kingdom is the only hope. Legislation isn't the hope. I mean, as a people, we make all kinds of decisions about how to govern our cultures that we live in. And we can look throughout history and say, you know, in some respects, we're doing great. In some respects, it's a challenge. In some respects, we're off the rails. But that's never not been true. when mankind tries to do everything in his own strength, which is what Habakkuk said. The voice of the Lord through Habakkuk said, I'm raising this great society up, but they'll fall because they will worship their own strength. We all have a role to play. If the kingdom were to come to earth as it is in heaven, nobody would be shooting anybody in a school. Shalom, the order and peace of God, would exist. And it is within our hearts and within our commissioning to bring such to this earth. And this is why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. But we so often forget that we have a role to play in that bringing of the kingdom. And that in each of our own individual and collective worlds, if we're not bringing the kingdom, the job isn't getting done. We're the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. So let's bring Jesus instead of wondering why God hasn't done what we want him to do once again. So God, we come before you. We're humbled. We re-examine our lives again and invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us about what it might look like for us to bring the kingdom to the world that we live in. Those within our sphere of influence. How do we affect those within our sphere of influence? How do we affect those within our family? How do we bring the kingdom into what it is that you've given us a domain over or authority over? How is it that this shalom and order of things exists within our hearts and lives? Because it starts there. If we can't live in peace, then our family can't either. We can't have peace between our spouse and ourselves if we can't have peace in our own hearts. So bring your kingdom to our hearts. We ask, Jesus. We plead, Holy Spirit, come. Come to us. Come, Jesus. And bring your peace, and not just for today. Let us live in this peace that you've offered to us. And then let it spread. Let it spread to our spouses. Let it come into our marriages. Let it be a part of our story. Bring it into the lives of our children, because we as couples are living it out. The shalom and order of God is in our household. If it is chaos everywhere else when we step through the front door, it is the order and serenity and peace of God. And then let that spread into the communities that we live in, among our friends. May we be the beacons of hope. May we be bringers of the kingdom on earth. And may whole communities change because your order is spreading and the kingdom is coming. May we take an active role, because it won't happen any other way. You have offered us the authority of heaven and invited us to bring your justice and your kingdom. May we get this through our heads, that we're not just floating by, waiting for the by and by hereafter, when everything will be right, because we will be gone. We will be in your presence. While we still breathe, while we still live, every day counts. Every moment counts. May we not waste our lives. Come, Jesus, even if we are at the end of our lives. It all matters. Help us, God, we pray. In your name, the only name that can bring hope. Come, Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. It's where you jump off into community. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do there. Of course, the store is there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, the website is is the place to go. There's a link on the homepage. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. That's it for today. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, family. This is Biola from Maryland. I am calling about a couple of prayer requests that were aired on December 3rd. My heart goes out to you, Sarah, concerning Alice. You know, the Lord does not view time the way we do. Psalm 126 is what came to my heart when you were talking about your daughter. And it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And Father, I pray that you will turn around this captivity that Alice is in right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you protect her wherever she is. Lord, I pray that you will bring her to the end of herself, that she will stop depending upon herself and start depending upon you, that you will let her come to herself the way the prodigal son did, Lord, in the Bible, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that you will bring her to a place of repentance in you, God. Surround her with people who will be salt and light in her life, in the name of Jesus. And finally, I pray that Alice will come home. She will come home in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to also pray for Daniel. I think that was what he called his name. Daniel, I heard all your prayer requests. Lord, I pray for wisdom for Pastor Mickey and his wife concerning the financing for their home, oh God. And I pray that your will be done in this situation in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will heal John and Martha's marriage in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them, oh God, to be selfless towards one another. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, Father, I cancel every work of the devil in this marriage. Lord, it will not lead to divorce in Jesus' name. Thank you for provision of a job for Daniel, oh God. Father, you know, God, Lord, even the kind of job that you have, the job that will glorify you, I pray that you will provide for him. And I pray, oh God, that he will be still and know that you are God. He will be able to hear your voice clearly in the name of Jesus. And I just bless you, God, for all these prayer requests. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, DAB family, this is Danny in St. Petersburg, Florida, with a praise report and an update. Praise the Lord. I got my video prayer going. I called earlier about starting a video prayer group on Google Plus, and as of this calling, I have one video prayer up on our Google Plus page right now. It's called Cyber Circle Prayer Warriors. Cyber as in internet. Cyber Circle Prayer Warriors. Also on Twitter. And just inviting people to send their prayer requests and praise reports, and I'll be reposting them. But I'm really wanting to use social media, mainly Google Plus and Twitter, as mission fields. I encourage anybody out there who's into social media to get out there, make new friends, engage people, and just be an extension of God's love. A lot of hurting people out there, and they really, some of them are very grateful to hear about the Bible and God's Word. Other people aren't so receptive, but let those who have ears hear, as the Bible says. So, whether or not you check out my prayer page on Google Plus or Twitter, or just go on there and be an extension of God's love and pray for people, I encourage you to do that. Spread the word about Daily Audio Bible, wherever you can. Also have a Facebook page, which I'm not so active on Facebook, but I do have a Facebook page as well. But just wanted to thank God for giving me the strength and the courage to go through with this. Getting in front of a camera really is not my thing, but I feel he's wanting me to do it for whatever reason. So I love you, DAB family, and hope to talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
The year 2012 is rapidly approaching its end. In a few more days, 2013 is scheduled to begin. But even if I don't get to see, not even one more day, I want to thank you, Father, for blessing me in such a magnanimous way. My heart is ebullient, overflowing with praise, for you've allowed me to see such an abundance of days. The time of my youth is more than adequate proof. Nothing that I did was sensible, and I truly believed I was invincible. But you watched over me, and I got older but not wiser, and I served other gods. But you continued to bless me, so I prospered in spite of all the odds. You kept all the drivers in their right lane. You kept all the deer in the field. And you still continued to bless and prosper me, even though my heart was still reluctant to even yield. The years kept on passing, and pretty soon, all my peers were just about gone. Still, you kept on blessing. Time marches on. I want to thank you, Father, for my parents, because the seed that they sowed into me such a long time ago, well, it definitely took root and has continued to grow. And I also want to thank you, Father, for all those people that prayed every day all over my life, even when my feet strayed. And I continued to walk in darkness and vanity and pride, even after I saw the light. It's clearly visible inside. That's why I had to thank you again, Father, for your mercy and your grace, and for giving me so many memories that the past years cannot erase. Memories to show me clearly that it was not me, but only you, that gave me safe passage every year that I went through. And now here I sit poised on the precipice of a new year once again. And I'm very, very, very thankful that you've allowed me to see another year in. My heart is ebullient. It is filled up, shaking, and overflowing with praise because you've let me see a plethora of such a fruitful abundance of days. And even if I don't get to see, not even one more day, my heart cries out, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Father, because you blessed me in such a marvelous, magnanimous way. Happy New Year's, everybody. This is Blind Tony, 252-370-2687. I hope that everybody has a year that's filled with God's peace, with His love, with His joy, with His Spirit, His Word. And thank you, Brian, for this venue, and I hope that we all continue to grow stronger, closer to the Father as we approach the next year. Remember the love and forgive. Thank you again. Amen. Bye-bye.
This is Ken from Maryland, and I'm asking that all of you pray for my friend Kim in Michigan. Kim is currently searching and in need of work and employment, and I know that many of the DAB family are. She's opened herself up completely to God and what He wants for her vacation and employment. I ask that she receive a blessing of work and that God pulls her from this financial cliff she is currently facing. I ask that she receives her perfect job, where she can serve the Lord through her vacation and live abundantly in Him. I also pray for everyone who is in this same situation, for God's richest blessings in your life. Thank you all for your prayers.